Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, the rules we should all be breaking to make cycling faster and easier, plus what we think the next ones will be.
Also,
another of cycling's long-held truths or rules is actually not really very true at all.
Has a price tag of close to 100,000 Australian dollars.
Is Dan, quite frankly, looking absolutely shredded.
I mean, check them out. I mean, why have they not done this with cars, though?
No, I mean, that is a really flipping good point. Why is an e-bike more dangerous than a car?
Exactly, yeah. Just before we get on with the show this week, we wanted to pose you the question, what do you think of our new microphones?
Do they sound good? Do they look stupid? Let us know in the comment section down below. Genuine question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We're experimenting and hoping it will sound better. Anyway, this week in the world of cycling, we learned that Milan San Remo was the easiest race ever.
I think today was one of the easiest races ever. We rode really super easy tempo the first few hours.
46k an hour average for 288 kilometres. Doesn't sound that easy to me, I've got to say. Although, spare a thought for poor Michael Matthews. Not only did he lose Milan San Remo by half a wheel, he also lost his sunglasses mid-sprint.
I'm sure he'll get another pair. We'll see. We also learned that the Olympic arms race is in full swing. Australia revealed last week that their new Factor Hanzo pursuit bike, which will be used in Paris later this year, has a price tag of close to 100,000 Australian dollars. So I think I'd better start saving up now.
For all the track cycling you do?
Maybe I'll wait for the road bike version.
For all the road biking that you do.
Yes, fair enough, Si, fair enough. Getting back on track, our congratulations to Laura Kenny on an incredible career. A 31-year-old announced her retirement last week, and she will go into that retirement with 5 Olympic golds and 7 world championship titles.
That's not a bad haul.
It's not too shabby.
Yeah, congratulations, Laura. Anyway, and then finally, we learned this week from Sunday's GCN video, actually, that another of cycling's long-held truths or rules is actually not really very true at all.
Namely, that if you want to go fast, you need narrow tyres, something that perception is slowly changing, but with the caveat that on smooth surfaces, narrower is still faster.
But we found that a 35mm wide tyre at lower pressures was the same speed as a 26mm tyre at higher pressures when the tyre construction is otherwise like for like. And do you know what? Like, that revelation genuinely blew me away.
A little bit like the tumbleweed that made an appearance at one point in the video.
I'm so glad we caught that. Particularly, it was Alex who was talking at the time that the tumbleweed blew past. For anyone who hasn't watched it yet, it was a British version of tumbleweed. Mm. It was like a ball of cut grass. Yeah. It literally blew through the shot at the perfect moment. Anyway, we're digressing, because what that experiment got us thinking was how much cycling folklore has changed in just the last couple of years. But what also is going to change next, Dan?
I think for me, the big one is carbohydrate intake. For a normal cyclist, perhaps not that much has changed, but you should still try and consume about 60 grams of carbs an hour on rides longer than a couple of hours. But for pro cyclists, it has completely revolutionised, hasn't
it? Yeah, it has. Yeah, both in training and in racing, eating double that amount and more is quite literally turbocharging racing, isn't it? And it's one of those real life, duh, moments, isn't it?
I mean, I do feel slightly sick at the prospect of eating 120 grams of carbs per hour, to be honest. So I'm quite glad that I'm out of that one.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Something I am doing, though, is gym work.
Yeah, and it is clearly paying off, isn't it, mate? If you're listening to this as a podcast, what you're missing now is Dan, quite frankly, looking absolutely shredded and almost bursting through his limited edition GCN t-shirt.
Thanks again, Si. I'm not sure anyone will believe you if they're listening to the podcast. But again, for such a long time, cyclists basically avoided doing any exercise but cycling. But now the fastest cyclists on the planet are hitting the gym, even doing a bit of running in the off-season, aren't they?
I know. I did not think that one would change, to be quite honest. But there you go. Another rule broken. What is coming next, though? My hunch, Dan, pun very much intended, is that super low handlebars on road bikes are going to be a thing of the past.
And what makes you say that?
Well, I heard a whisper Okay, and it's something that we're going to check out properly when
they
get to the...
good mics like us. Need to hear that.
Yeah, very good. No, I've got my ear to the ground.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to check it out thoroughly when we get to the start line of the Giro d'Italia, which I think is the next kind of like normal road race that we'll be going to. But basically, you know how the front ends of time trial bikes are actually getting higher now because it's more aero?
It has been noticeable, hasn't it?
Yeah. So why is it any different for road bikes?
That is a fair point, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying that riders are going to be sat bolt upright. Mm. What I'm saying is I think that when your hands are on the hoods, your arms are going to be way more bent. So your back will be in the same position, but you'll be like all hunched up.
I can see that coming. Yeah. I mean, they'll certainly be testing it, won't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I think is going to change again?
Go on.
Sunglasses.
Sunglasses are going
to
change.
So I saw a tweet from the cycling pundit Mihai Simeon, who said, "Say goodbye to sunglasses in road races." He did that after Betiol racked up another win in the POC helmet.
The POC helmet.
The POC helmet.
Yeah.
I tell you what else.
Go on.
Zone 2. I've got a hunch that this current trend for Zone 2 is going to pass. Because let's face it, Zone 2, it's not a new thing.
No.
Is it? Inigo San Milan, the current poster boy for Zone 2 training, says himself that it's no new thing. And actually something he's been prescribing for his clients and his riders for about 30 years now. But the trend is going to move on.
To what?
Obviously Zone 3.
To Zone 3. Yeah. Why?
Well, for obvious reasons. It's Zone 3, isn't it? It's got to be better than Zone 2.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I think the answer to training, like many things in life, probably lies somewhere in the middle, doesn't it? Like Zone 2 riding, I think we can fairly safely say it's definitely going to be beneficial, but it needs to be balanced, doesn't it? And I do struggle with the idea that it's still relevant to time crunch cyclists, just because it seems so easy. So we've only got a few hours a week. Why is riding really gently, or not really gently, comparatively gently, going to be beneficial?
The best bang for your buck. Yeah. Well, it's a good job we've got Manon out there to test it for us, isn't it? Stay tuned for her video, which will come out this coming Friday. You want to know what else I think is going to change in the very near future?
Yes, I do, actually.
Go on then.
What?
Chest pockets is what I was going to say.
Chest pockets.
So you know that there's that new fad or that new thing where all the riders in the pro peloton are putting their race radio down the front of their skin suits in individual time trials because it's apparently aerodynamically faster.
Yeah.
Well, why not store your bars and your gels on your chest for that same reason? It'd probably be easier to access there too, wouldn't it?
Well, it would, yeah.
That versus that.
Particularly as you get older, I was finding it really hard to get stuff out of my pockets these days.
There's your solution, and you'll be riding faster. Even in old age.
Would you need more aerodynamic things in your pocket though to keep it aero? Like, I mean, I can imagine if you've got like a massive iPhone in like a front pocket, that might not be the most aerodynamic shape.
Whereas, I mean, you might want to ask Dan Bigham as opposed to Dan Lloyd this question.
What? No.
But it makes sense to me. Like, if they're using it as some kind of fairing down the front in time trials, surely it would be a similar result in road racing.
It makes
as well.
A massive amount of sense. I can't believe that you're revealing this idea here and now without any sense of like we could monetize this.
Wow.
That seems like a great idea.
Thanks, mate.
Like, genuinely, like a kangaroo pocket up front.
I've got to be honest.
Aeroo, you could call it. There you go.
Oh, I mean, thinking on the bounce here.
Absolutely.
I do think it will look completely terrible.
Well, I mean, absolutely.
It's another step in the wrong direction from a cycling aesthetics point of view, but they're not going to care if it's fast, are they?
No, clearly they don't care. They're wearing Giro Aerohead 2s.
Alternatively, they could do what I do.
Go on.
And just drink a lot of beer. I am more aero right now than I've ever been in my entire life.
Yeah, and yet also slower than you've ever been as well, despite going to the gym. And looking seriously hench. Yeah. By the way, actually, that Giro Aerohead 2 helmet, I noticed that the UCI have said that it's okay now.
Yeah, you told me off camera.
For the second time in quick succession. So there you go.
That review didn't take too long from the UCI, did it?
No, it didn't. You wonder what they were reviewing exactly before making that conclusion again. But there we go. Anyway.
Just a social media poll. Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, let us
probably asked you, didn't they? Dan, what do you honestly think? Well, guys. No,
I don't like it that much, but you know, it was a good design. It is fast.
I'll let it slide. as long as you say that my Aeroo pocket is okay.
Yeah, like I can monetize it.
Yeah, basically.
I'll send a letter to David Laparte and see if I can do exactly that. Anyway, let us know what cycling traditions you have found benefits of breaking in the comments section down below and what you think the next big developments are going to be in the world of pro cycling and the world of cycling in general. There's a never-ending quest for free speed at the moment, isn't there?
I think leg warmers, aero leg warmers.
Well, there must be a reason. I mean, we have had riders experiment with aero leg warmers, but I just wonder whether where they ruffle up around the knees, it negates any of the trip things that you can get on the leg warmers.
Yeah, maybe. Hmm. Maybe they just need fatter knees. That would help. Or ankles. Yeah, sort them out with that.
Well, I was going to say that. I thought I'd leave it. You said it yourself.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now. And as you can see, we're going to continue with the clothing theme and start with some brand new shorts.
But not just any old shorts, Si. I'm about to use these bad boys to go and film a new intro to cycling shorts. I mean, check them out.
Dan, I think we should say that unless the viewers like this video in huge numbers, it's probably not appropriate to redo.
Specify a number?
I'm going to go high. 10,000 likes for Dan.
That doesn't sound that high. I think
20,000 likes
right,
for 20, Dan.
20,000 likes. I will film a new, or take a new picture for cycling shorts. Complete with blurring.
I know, yeah, I don't think we really want to see that. Anyway, more to the point, okay, they are part of a new collection. They're white for a reason, aren't they? They've just been released by our clothing partners, Ahu, and they've called it the Undyed range and part of their 6-6 line.
So basically, they were looking for a way to reduce their carbon footprint, and this range of undyed product achieves that by reducing the water and energy consumption that's normally associated with colouring any clothing.
Yeah, so the undyed and nano earth dyed range are all made from recycled or recyclable materials, making them even more environmentally friendly.
Sounds good, doesn't it? You can find out more information over on Ahu's own website, but also on our very own website, which is, of course, globalcyclingnetwork.com.
Can we quickly go through them, Dan, since we've got them here? So those are the undyed shorts, aren't they?
Yep.
These, very cool looking, like silvery grey ones. These are the nano dyed ones,
yep.
I'm assuming. Undyed merino shirt. That's cool, isn't it?
That does look nice.
Yeah, like that one. I did not know that's what colour a gilet would be if it was undyed.
Do you know what's missing? Chest pockets.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Some undyed chest pockets.
True, and then I got this one as well, which is another nano one, isn't it?
That looks smart.
Yeah, it's well cool, isn't it? There you go, then. So if you want to see Dan sporting some new undyed shorts, then get liking the video, please. Right, then. Should we move on, shall we?
We're going to move on to some news from Dan Craven. Now, if you don't remember who Dan Craven is, this might jog your memory.
That was grotty.
God, that really jogs my memory, to be fair. That takes me back about 6 years.
Roughly.
Yeah, we use that clip a lot. Back in the day. Now, Dan Craven, for anyone not quite as old as us, is a former teammate of ours, actually, who then went on to race for Europcar, the very top level. But he now runs a bike brand called Onguza.
It's a brand with a difference, though, making high-end steel frames from their base in Namibia, which is where Dan is from.
Yeah, so in his mind, Namibia is a country of talented makers, in his words, stuck in low-value jobs. But building world-class steel bicycles is a high-value trade that matches the quality of their workmanship. And through Dan, they've got a story and a route to market, basically.
Yes, we recommend that you check them out over at onguza.com, O-N-G-U-Z-A.com. And the bikes look great and the brand looks great as well, doesn't it? And as they say on their website, we know what bikes need to do because we've got lions.
Now, that might be true, Dan, but we've got cows. That's all I'm saying. Some AI news now, and a new product from a startup called Velo AI, called Copilot. It seems a little bit like the Garmin Varia, doesn't it? But it uses AI to look for nearby potential dangers. Cars, essentially, isn't it? Not cows or lions. I mean, no word on whether it can detect them. Anyway, if it finds any, the cool thing is it alerts both the cyclist and the driver.
It does, yeah. So the device looks like quite a large rear light, and it will let out a series of light flashes to catch the attention of any motorist that it thinks is about to pass you too close.
Does it use Raspberry Pi Compute Module 4?
It does, yes.
I thought so. It's got decent processing power, but at the same time, it doesn't burn too much energy, thus saving precious battery life.
That is exactly what the press release said, Si.
That's
remarkable.
Funny you say that.
It's going to be interesting to see how well it works, though.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good idea. Anything that helps alert distracted drivers has surely got to be a good thing, hasn't it?
Yes, but as we've said in the past, what as a cyclist do you do if you get an alert to a threat from behind?
We don't need to.
Dive into
a bush? We've got this thing to alert them for you.
Yeah, but the trouble is, though, like if a driver is actually distracted, is a light, you know, basically what it needs to do is send them a text message to remind them to stop looking at their flipping phone before they crash into something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, basically what I don't want to do is dive into a bush.
No, okay. Well, it'd better be accurate if I'm going to dive into a hedge.
Well, that's true. You wouldn't want a false alarm, would you?
No, not really. Now, we wanted to give a shout out to Sergei Krasnov, who is a semi-pro cyclist, or at least he was when he was younger, because he launched a project which is called Tour de France Ukraine.
Yeah, so he will ride at the same time as the actual tour, the length of every stage, but he'll do it on the roads of his home country, Ukraine.
And in doing so, he's going to be raising money for the refugees from his home region of Kherson, who are basically forced to abandon their homes because of the ongoing war.
Yeah, we will put a link in the description where you can find more details and donate if you so wish. We also wanted to say, by the way, a big thank you to Matthew Rittenhouse, who for the last few years has been sending us some Girl Scout cookies all the way from Honolulu. Mm,
thanks, Matthew. Are they gluten-free?
They're not gluten-free, but they have been enjoyed very much by all of our colleagues Everyone around the office. Yeah, but hey, that's all right. I like it. So yeah, thank you, Matthew. As always, that's super cool.
Right, let's finish Cycling Shorts with news that in Amsterdam, they can now apparently have the ability to remotely slow down e-bikes if they so wish, which sounds absolutely bonkers, doesn't it?
Well, it does a little bit. How exactly does it work, you'd be wondering? Well, it's something that we saw on routier.com, and it says they'll be able to slow e-bike riders down where necessary when riding past, like, a school, for example.
Yeah, apparently it's in an experimental stage right now, but the article went on to say that it will also be trialled in places such as Milan and also Munich. Munich?
Where's Munich?
Milan
is that
and
in Finland?
Munich. Yes, probably. It's Munich spelt wrong. I don't know about you, mate. I find it a bit weird to think about the prospect of somebody suddenly controlling my speed and slowing me down.
You'll be fine, mate. There's no one going to be trying to slow you down.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. To be fair, though, I think it's fine to slow e-bike riders down, but I think you also then need to be able to speed them up. Do you know what I mean? Because at the minute, 25k an hour, as we've said, you know, it's fine on average if a bit slow. But if you then get slowed down where you're supposed to go slower, then at least let people go faster when they can go faster.
Yeah, de-restrict them rather than a remote that suddenly speeds them up. That, I mean, that could be disconcerting.
Well, yeah.
The most experienced of cycling.
Well, that's it, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not saying that, but just, you know, that would be fair, wouldn't it?
It would be.
You've got to slow down here, but you're allowed to go faster there.
I mean, why have they not done this with cars, though?
Well, that is
the ability to slow cars down past schools.
Well, that is a really good point. You are on it today, mate. Not only have you ingested...
I won't be in next week. I'll be a multimillionaire.
Yeah, I've invented the air roo, and I've also made friends with the car driving lobby by actively slowing people down. Yeah. No, I mean, that is a really flipping good point. Why is an e-bike more dangerous than a car?
Exactly, yeah. Not that I'm saying, by the way, that if I had enough money that I didn't need to work, that I wouldn't love to still come in and present the show.
You'd be here next week.
Yeah, I would, yeah. Hack / bodge of the week. Now this segment has become much harder to do with these fancy new microphones.
Well, yeah, I can't work.
You can't
with
do
this.
It at all.
No, I mean these microphones. I mean, if you like them, I'm sorry, but they got to go. What am I supposed to do?
Oh, that would have sounded awful for people listening to the podcast. Yeah. Right, don't forget you can upload your hacks and bodges to upload.globalcyclingnetwork.com, which Killian Kelly has now fixed, despite all the other jobs he's doing with the company.
Our first one this week. Ride up steep hills this week.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Our first one this week comes in from Stephen, who lives in Indiana and also Michigan. So I designed and printed.
How does he live in Indiana and Michigan at the same time?
He's one of those people with a second home, I guess. I don't know.
Steve.
But he designed and printed his own Garmin Varia mounts. Pretty sure my 3D printer is one of my top cycling accessories, and it does look rather neat, doesn't it?
It does look rather neat. Yeah, very cool colour, actually. I mean, can I say, we often talk about off-center things on bikes, particularly lights. That's mounted to one of the seat stays, isn't it? I'd kind of want it to be mounted to both, just for symmetry.
Yeah,
it looks single-sided.
We better describe it, actually, hadn't we, for podcast listeners.
Good point.
It is light matte grey, and it's mounted towards the top of the off-side rear seat stay. I'm speaking very slowly, so I don't know how to describe it.
This is a riveting description.
Yeah, maybe just check out the video when you get chance.
Yeah, all right. I mean, anything 3D printed, I think we've got to say is a hack, pretty much.
Hold your horses on that one.
With the exception of what is coming up next, sent in by Ralph from Munich, also known as Music. If you're down.
We're both saying hack for the first one.
Yeah, we are, yeah. So this is a 3D printed tool to undo what is effectively like normally done by a coin, like the back of your heart rate monitor.
Yeah.
Replacing a CR.
Anything that you need to sort of carry those watch-like batteries that you normally undo with a coin that you've got hanging around. Rao says he doesn't always have coins nearby, so he's 3D printed his own coin-shaped thing. I mean, I'm going to have to say I like the colour of it, since it's the same colour as the first 3D printed thing. But I can't help but think, Si, that it's much easier to find yourself a coin than to 3D print your own coin-shaped
thing.
Well,
this is true, and because the thing is, you've still got to store your 3D printed coin-shaped tool. And so if you're going to store that somewhere safe, you might as well just store a coin instead, right? Although what Ralph has done is, he said you can actually do it yourself using his own 3D printed thing.
Okay.
So you can download his amazing design and do it yourself.
Well, I'll get onto that. I need to buy a 3D printer to start with.
What's the phrase? Solution looking for a problem?
Something along those lines.
I'm going to say bodge.
I'm going to say bodge, because I still do. I don't use cash or coins very much these days, but I always seem to have some in a drawer. I've got loads of old euros, etc.
Yeah, exactly. There's always something knocking around.
So many coins in different countries. I keep meaning every time I get onto a flight where they take them for charity to take with me, and I always forget. They're just hanging around in a drawer. Anyway.
Check you out, money bags.
Yeah.
I just so much loose change. I don't know what to do with it.
I reckon, if I put all of that together, I'd probably have 36, 37 quid.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say no. Right, lastly then, in Hack or Bodge this week, we've got this one sent in from Emil in Copenhagen in Denmark. I often see this cargo bike used for transporting blood tests in our courtyard, and I think that's a very Copenhagen-y thing. I assume the enclosed box has a cooling system.
That's cool, isn't it? Pardon the pun, sorry. Deliberate, that one.
No, that is very cool. I mean, cargo bikes used for transporting stuff that would otherwise need an engine.
Yeah,
thumbs up.
Definitely a hack for
me. Absolutely, yeah. There we go. As Dan said, the uploader is fixed. Thank you very much, Killian, for that. He must have done it before Milan San Remo, because he wouldn't have got anything done that day, would he?
No, I bet he was glued to his screen for the whole 7 hours, wasn't he?
I bet he was, yeah. One of the three people that endured the whole of that race. Although, let's not be around the bush. I mean, that was one of the finest 30 minutes of bicycling.
It was brilliant. It was worth the wait.
Never disappoints.
No.
I mean, I had a great Saturday waiting for it. I did lots of things. Right. Anyway, there, that brings an end to Hack or Bodge for this week. It's time now for caption competition. And before we get going, we've got a very exciting announcement, haven't we?
We have.
The GCN Camelback water bottles are changing. Because Camelback have basically just released a brand new metal podium water bottle, which is incredible. It's blown my mind.
It looks quality, I've got to say.
Well, yeah. So obviously they've had to redo things because a metal bottle is not squeezable. So they've completely redesigned the whole cap. There's now like a tube that goes down to the bottom, and then apparently you get loads more water out.
Just through suction.
They've increased the flow rate, yeah. And there's a little, I watched the promotional video, there's a little air hole in there that when you open it up.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so air goes through the cap.
It's like an old school strawpedo.
Basically,
down
yeah.
It.
But what's super cool is it's insulated, isn't it? So obviously it weighs a little bit more compared to a plastic bottle, but that's so blooming cool.
Good for both Canadian winters and Spanish summers.
That's right. And there's also a titanium version as well.
I think they both look really smart.
Oh, they're super cool, aren't they?
One is kind of a matte light blue, isn't it? The one that is titanium coloured.
I would say that they would last longer, but the normal Camelback podium water bottles,
they already last a long time, don't they?
Dan was actually drinking from one this morning that you said was about 13 years old.
It is 13 years old, yeah.
So there you go. It's not
school thermal one.
Not just loose change that Dan holds on to, but water bottles as well. But anyway, yeah, so new Camelback podium water bottles. We've waited to this part of the show to tell you all about it because we're very excited. But actually, The new GCN traditional podium water bottles should be here this week.
This week?
Yeah, yeah. I heard it on good authority. Another whisper.
Yeah.
But yes.
It's been like watching Milan San Remo, hasn't it? It's worth the wait.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be the best 30 minutes of water bottle unboxing ever, basically. But yeah, there we go.
And it's those ones that you will be in with a chance of winning in caption competition, of course. Last week's photo is this one from the Tirreno Adriatico podium. That is Jonas Vingegaard, Jai Hindley on the right. Both of them sipping or downing a rather large bottle of Prosecco, and Juan Ayuso just holding his in his hand. Our winner this week is Stuart Marler, who put caption, "You guys go ahead. Juan drinks on Juan's own."
Nice.
Very good.
Oh, that's Stuart. Yeah, great stuff, mate. Get in touch on Facebook, and we will get a GCN Camelback water bottle out to you.
We will indeed.
That feels good saying that.
It does, yes.
Yeah, and apparently we're getting these in GCN colours as well.
Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah,
they'll
yeah, they're metal.
At shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com.
Which I'm very excited about too.
Yeah.
So that feels like the kind of water bottle that you could actually use off the bike.
Oh, definitely,
it?
Yeah.
Like, as in, like, that's quite classy.
Imagine it in my rucksack when I'm rucking. Anyway, this week's photo is from the podium of Milan San Remo from Saturday. It's Pogacar taking a selfie with Jasper Philipsen to his right and Michael Matthews on the second step of the podium. I will get you started. All right, guys, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the GCN show.
See what you did there, mate.
If only,
that's good.
Imagine
they
sent that through.
That'd be pretty cool, yeah. Michael Matthews has got some new sunglasses, look, already.
I know.
What do you think he went back and picked them up?
I highly doubt it.
I reckon he picked them up.
You reckon?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Anyway, do your best in the comment section below with your best caption, and we'll pick a winner this time next week. We've picked out a few of our favourite comments from the last 7 days of videos, so we'll go through them before we let you know what's coming up on GCN this week. Loads of suggestions from our viewers' side on what makes of drill you should be looking at.
Though, well,
if you
yeah.
didn't listen or watch the GCN show last week, Si got himself all confused in trying to buy a drill because there was too much choice out there, a bit like bikes in the modern industry.
It's called the paradox of choice.
Oh, is it?
Yep, I was learning that whilst reading the comments.
I mean, the suggestions haven't narrowed it down that much, but these are quality makes, apparently. So Bosch, Milwaukee, Makita, Ryobi. I think I've got a Ryobi drill that I just look at. Lidl, Devout were amongst the suggestions.
So, yeah, thanks. You've... Well, what can I say? You guys have narrowed it down significantly to really help my choosing. C. Pollock, I did laugh out loud when I read this. Si, the drill you're looking for is the mod. It's a noun, verb, acronym, and unequivocally a state of mind for those who push the boundaries of spinning excavation. No board too long, no surface too tough for those willing to mod. And if anyone's wondering what on earth we're banging on about... NV's MOG gravel bike is remarkably similar in terms of the marketing.
Oh, is it?
Wasn't it?
Have you decided what you're going for?
Yes, I'm going for a Works. So Blake from GMBN has been using Works.
Oh, he's a proper DIYer, isn't he?
He said, yeah, like, go for a Works. So I'm going for a Works.
No. All right,
so
well, good luck, mate.
Thanks, Pat.
Also underneath the show last week, Joe Black wrote, "What kind of haircut are you going for, lads?" And we both reply and say, "Have you seen Jarheads?" I think that's an insult, basically.
Yeah.
We didn't know we were both getting the same haircut.
No, we did synchronised hairdressing. No. I mean, you didn't need one. I really did, but,
need one.
Did you?
No, I did, yeah.
We both got a strong new look, which is great.
Yeah, one that most people think looks horrible.
It's taken years off you, though, mate.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Yeah.
Killian Kelly also decided to get involved in the comments, saying, "It's not only articles presenting and training for Flanders that I've been doing. I've also been spending plenty of time swanning around as a T-shirt model in the GCN shop."
Yeah, that's a reminder, actually, that we've got a special offer, haven't we, on that T-shirt that Killian was modelling. For some reason, no one's bought it. So, it's now 50% off in the GCN shop, that one. And then NatUH21 said, "Cycling isn't more complicated. It's just ridiculously expensive." So, there were a fair few comments along those lines. It still is. Expensive.
Well, I've been asking everyone in the office today if they know how much a Durace Di2 rear derailleur
Ollie Bridgewood knows.
He did know, didn't he? Yeah.
He did.
But yeah, they're not cheap. They're not cheap. Right, coming up on the channel this week, on Wednesday, we're going to let you know what size of bike you need. I think this goes back to what we were saying last week, wasn't it? Where there is a lot of choice and you kind of rely a lot on local bike shops. But if you're doing it mail order or any other way, where you don't get that advice, you want to get the right size the first time.
Indeed.
On Thursday, how to fuel at a gas/petrol station, which you often do, don't you, when you're caught out.
How to fuel for cycling.
Yes.
Which is not how to use a petrol pump.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was a given on the Global Cycling Network.
Well, just clarifying, just in case. And then Friday, the aforementioned video with Manon, no pain, what gains, zone 2 training. So basically, Manon is going to embark on a very monotonous training plan to basically see whether or not training at zone 2 improves you at zone 2, whether it improves your FTP and whether it improves anything else.
How long
is
she doing it for?
She is doing it for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, long enough to see some gains. Perhaps for the zone 2 zealots, not long enough to show like ridiculous gains, but still should be enough to see what happens, basically. Well,
to make a conclusion. Of sorts.
Indeed. Yeah. And then on Saturday, I got to ride the sweetest vintage bike.
Oh, yeah, you were saying to me.
Yeah.
Off camera.
Pinarello Diner, as ridden in the Tour de France by the late Jose Jimenez. So, check that video out. Basically, I'm asking the question, was that peak bike 30 years ago? Is that as good as cycling got?
Was it not slammed at the front?
No, because it's quill stem. So you can do what you like with it, can't you?
Oh, is it quill stem?
Yeah.
Crikey.
Did you know 1995 was the last time a steel bike won the Tour de France?
I didn't.
Yeah, because the year after, I don't want to, you know, ruin the video now, no spoilers, but the year after, although it was won on another Pinarello, Bjarne Riis as opposed to Miguel Indurain, he used a much rarer aluminium matrix model or something like that. So, I've got all the interesting facts.
Yeah. And what's on Sunday?
It's not quite as good as that. Basically, Ollie was out filming with the professional cyclist, Alexi Brunel, out in Girona. And basically, Alexi was doing an interval session on the flat. So Ollie tried to hang on.
Nice. Says,
can you hold on to a pro cyclist on a flat road? So I can't wait to see that.
No, I can't either.
Where's your money?
I'd like to see Ollie dropped. He's not been dropped for ages.
Well, I mean... What? Alexi was doing 500 watt intervals for 5 minutes. It's not bad, that is if.
No. No, a bit of crosswind, put Ollie in the gutter. Bang, he's gone. Anyway, I look forward to watching that one.
That's it, yeah.
As ever, thank you if you've made it through right to the end of this week's GCN show, either on audio or complete with video on YouTube. Very much appreciated. As would be any purchase from the shop, shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. It really does help us out a lot.
What t-shirt are you sporting, Dan?
Well, we've got others on the shop that are celebration of the upcoming Cobble Classics. This is for the current stage race going on in Spain.
So this is the cathedral in Barcelona, isn't it?
It is.
There you go. Got there in the end. Also, please do let us know what you think about these ear microphones.
Yep.
Because, we're trying them out because we think they sound better. But if you think...
Do they make us sound more chocolatey? No one's listening by this point anyway.
No. If you think they make us look awful, then just let us know. And
they'd make us look better. Put them there.